Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here. Thank you so much for joining Great American Golf. Great American Golf is, well, my first show that I started 26 years ago. And then about, I think it was about a year or two, maybe 2 years later, I needed an extra hour. There wasn't one available on Saturday morning. Of course, this show is 6 to 7 a.m. forever on Saturdays. And so I went to the Monday evening prime time drive. And from 6 to 7 p.m., the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show was born. So both shows still, after all these years, every single week. We've just come from a wonderful holiday break for everybody. I know it's all back to school, back to work now for about a week. And we are on the air and we are ready to talk a bunch of golf today on Great American Golf with Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, and Dr. Bob Denny, PGA historian emeritus from the PGA of America. Lots of things are happening, and if you want to listen to these shows or my television show with all new TV episodes being released very soon, you go to Golf News Net. golfnewsnet.com, and there you check on the click onto the radio tab. You'll find both radio shows. After a day or two there, they are then sent over to all the big audio platforms, and you can hear me as the shows live there forever on iHeart and Spotify and Pandora and Amazon and Apple and all those big audio platforms. Television is the same. It stays at the Golf News Net under the TV tab. You go there and see it. And then from there, you'll find it being sent over to Roku and Amazon Fire and I believe Apple. And there's a big platform being released here soon. I'll announce that when the time comes. So lots going on with that. New things happening. My new website, matchplaytv.com, is currently being built right now. I'll have three websites when it's all said and done within about a month or two, the next 4 to 6 weeks. But prior to the PGA merchandise show, which is coming the 20th through the 23rd, I'll be there, of course, during that week. Dr. Bob will be there. Craig will be there. And it's an industry-only show, so unfortunately, you listeners are not able to go, but I'll be there doing videos, reporting from, we'll cover it on these radio shows. I'll bring back some of my favorite PGA products of the year. Big email is going to be sent out to you if you want on my email list to get that and all my other gift guides throughout the year. What do you do? Well, you write to me, golfadams@msn.com, golfadams@msn.com. And that is a wrap on things coming up. I want to thank Halo Wellness, Cam Lowe, and all of his team there at Halo Wellness. They can help you completely, not just rebuild, but build new power and new strength at Halo Wellness. You want to go to halowellness.com and find out more about Halo Wellness. And of course, it's the time of year where it's, well, and it's always the right time to have your investments looked at, maybe analyzed. You may want to change investment advisors, or you may be looking for one. I highly suggest you contact Caleb Jelsic. He is at Crimson Glory Advisory Group. He's based right here in Phoenix, Arizona. And you want to call him at 360-480-0214. Caleb Jelsic at the Crimson Glory Advisory Group, 360-480-0214. A couple of great sponsors bringing us this segment right now. All right. Derek Sprague resigned, Craig. He is your CEO for less than a year at the PGA of America. What happened?
Well, he's put out that he's going to go take care of his family. And, you know, we all wish that if something happens to our family, that we're able to be able to give them the time, and we have everything to be able to do that. Most people are never in that position, Ray, unfortunately. They're not able to give up their job and be able to take care of people. So if that's the issue and he's able to do that, I think that's nice for him to be able to do that for his parents.
Bob, what do you make of it?
Same thing. I agree with that. I can only operate about what's in front of the public. I'm not there behind the scenes to see any other reasons behind this, but it's a difficult situation anytime for a person to have to leave a position like that when it isn't a what you call a drastic measure or a they're throwing you out the door. That's not the case. So it's a difficult situation. The PGA of America's first CEO, I was a PGA club professional, Jim Autry, and Derek was the second.
Well, look, I took care of my little mom for a number of years before she passed away. And I know what it means to be able to not just take care of an aging family member or any family member that needs your help, but it's the money, it's the time. I'm still absolutely shocked by it. I'm a big fan and a big supporter of the PGA of America. I think everybody knows that over the years. I'm sorry to see Derek Sprigg go. I tried to have a couple of conversations about it. It's very hush hush. As a matter of fact, Don Ray, who's a longtime friend of mine, president of the PGA of America, is currently now not able to do. He has no room for any interviews whatsoever. And unfortunately, that's the way that it is right now at the PGA of America. And I don't know what it communicates, but I know that I wanted to talk to Don about his own golf course right here in Phoenix, Arizona, and he is unable to do any interviews at this time. So I think there's a lot of things going on at the PGA of America, Bob. Behind the closed doors, in the boardrooms, in the decision-making rooms. And I don't really know even who is making all of these decisions. Who makes the decisions that you can or cannot do interviews? Who makes decisions about where the PGA of America is headed? Who's making decisions about how they handled and the review of the 2025 Ryder Cup a few months ago? Who makes the decisions about the future and forward movement of the PGA of America, Bob? Do you know?
Very simply, it's the board of directors, and
Yeah.
the leadership are the
Who's
sort
on
of
the
the
board?
there's 22 members of the board,
Do we know who
and
they are?
that's a long list, but I don't have it in my fingertips, but that's the number of people on the board, and they make the decisions, and their couriers of the decisions are the officers,
Yeah.
and they have leadership within the building that advises the officers. And also takes input from all the sections. There's 41 sections in the PGA of America.
Craig, what do you make of it? Board of directors are calling all the shots. Board of directors says no videos. Board of directors says no interviews. Board of directors is calling all the shots.
Well, the board of directors was calling the shots before that. They've just
Right.
decided
Yeah.
that
Well, they
this
always
is,
have.
yeah, I mean, so that's the way they're doing it. If we can't hear from our president, I look at it and I go, well, what's changed in the last year? We could hear from our president a year ago. We heard from our president 2 years ago. Heard from him 3 years ago. We heard from him 4 years ago. So what has changed? And why has that changed? And why are we not had it? Not to get political, but one of the things that people talked about Joe Biden was that they weren't seeing him. You weren't seeing him. You weren't hearing from them. So if we it, we heard from Bill Clinton, we heard from George Bush, we heard from Barack Obama, we heard from all these people. People that are in these positions, you want, that's part of the reason why they're in this position, and they're part of their job description. Why are we not being able to hear that from this person? I think that brings up a real problem. And if he can't do it, the board of directors saying he can't do it, he's not allowed to do it, then no offense, why is he in this position?
Well, it's not so much why he's in the position. I think it's that they are, and look, we're speculating. We don't know. We have not talked to any one board of the directors, not any board member. I do not know. I know that it's unfortunate, and I know that Don Ray wants to do interviews. He said it's unfortunate, but those are the rules for now. And we're going to honor that. And we're certainly going to honor Don Rays, a stand-up guy. And Don has been a wonderful friend of this show over the years. And he and I have been friends. He's been on the show for 20 years with me on and off. And certainly prior to and after being elected to the officers of the PGA of America, Don has been very, very generous with his time to come on this show many, many times over the last few years. And even as president, he'll be back on again with us, I'm sure, soon, I hope. But is there some disarray? Do you sense that there's some disarray going on with, or is there a are they trying to just lay low, given all of the heat they took from the Ryder Cup? And now with Derek Sprague's announcement that he's leaving, what do you make of that, Bob?
Well, it's not the first time the PGA of America's gone through public relations crises. That's just a part of the history of our association. It's the ups and the downs and how we've adapted it to it. This is not the most serious of all of them, believe me. This is
Well,
far from the worst.
I
But
know.
I'd like to make my point is the
Oh,
fact
go
that,
ahead. Sorry.
yeah, my point is the fact that there's a fissure that was after the Bethpage Ryder Cup. Everybody knows that there's is a public relations disaster in there, and Europe and its media continue to use it and every type of feature they can find for weeks. I can go into anything, and if I can find updated comments from every player who was on the Ryder Cup team for Europe making a comment about the Ryder Cup, so it's living over there and it's coming back over here, and so. To make a long story short and a point short, it's a fissure that has to be healed, and that's the next job of this leadership.
Does that affect the membership, Craig? People like you? Or do you come go to work today and teach golf and be GMs at clubs and directors of golf at courses and assistant pros, and you just get up and go to work and it really doesn't affect you? You don't really think much about it, or is there a ripple effect, a trickle down effect to the membership?
Well, I think there's definitely a ripple effect, and I definitely think that it's something that if you don't address, is still sitting there and it's out there in front of everybody. I mean, where I'm at, they were shooting RBC commercials yesterday out at my facility, and Shane Lowry was there, and his golf bag had Ryder Cup head covers on it and all this stuff on there. Well, you're thinking about it. Till the PGA and now deals with this problem, it's going to keep coming up. I mean, that's the reality of it. It's going to be known as this cluster that we're all talking about, Ray. 40 years from now, we won't be here, but that's what this will be known about. So you might as well just admit it, deal with it, and get over it. And by nobody speaking about it now, and it's, well, we're just going to let it go. It's not going away. And it's going to come back in 4 years when we are 2 years from now when they go over to Ireland. They're going to bring it up again. And then it'll be compared. Oh, look where New York is versus the way it is in Ireland. It's going to be talked about. And then the next time it comes to America, well, last time it was here, it was at New York, and now it's going to be talked about. We're just going to sit there and just think, oh, no, just step over it. Just step over it where you don't have to do it. I mean, that's just ignorant.
I was in Texas for Christmas with my family that week, and we went out on some of the. I walked out on some of the back acres, and they have the neighbors have sheep and goats, and I think there's cows out there. And I remember stepping over the poop, over the cow piles. And I
That's what
have a
we're doing.
feeling that that's what's going on. Everybody's just stepping over it. Where is it in 4 years anyway? Where's the Ryder Cup? And I know we're at Adair Manor
Hazeltine.
and we're at Hazeltine. Okay, well, that there you go. So I would imagine the folks in the Midwest are going to be nice and polite up at Hazeltine. Don't you think so, Bob?
Oh yeah, just lovely.
Well, they're not going to be like New York, I guarantee you, because everybody that goes through the gate is going to be required to have a muzzle. That's a joke, everybody. You can laugh now. Don't write to me at golfadams@msn.com. But I mean, really, Craig, I would imagine that the next two Ryder Cups are going to be tame comparatively.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we've talked about privately and on the and on this podcast, it's not as bad as the Ryder Cup was. It was the reaction that was worse. And as I said to you the other day, this reaction that we're getting now is just as bad. And my assumption, while maybe totally incorrect, the same people that told the people that talk about at the Ryder Cup to say the things that they did are the same people that are making these decisions now. And they're making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, all I know is to clam up and go into, I don't say hiding, but certainly, I mean, we have one of the largest PGA of America events coming up in 2 weeks. We'll be at the PGA Merchandise Show. This is a PGA of America event. It is the largest golf show in the world. It's appropriately placed in Orlando where Disney World is. It is the Disneyland of golf. When you walk in the door, your mouth hangs open if it's your first time. And I'm still overwhelmed whenever I walk in after being there. This is my 22nd year or 23rd year going. Coming up in Orlando, this show was first held in 1954, folks, and it previews everything that you're going to see in 2026, as it does every year. And when I say preview, it means there's going to be industry insiders there. There will be celebrities there. There will be famous golfers there from the various tours. There's going to be panels and discussions. There will be, it's a big show. And last year, there were 1,000 or more exhibiting golf companies and brands. It's 1.1 million square feet of exhibition and demonstration space at Orange County Convention Center there on International Drive in Orlando. 30,000 plus attending industry professionals like Craig Renshaw, media like me, historians from the PGA of America like Bob, who'll be conducting an event there he'll tell us about in a moment. And there'll be 1,000 plus VIP buyers from over 800 golf facilities and mass merchandisers representing nearly $1 billion in purchasing power and over 2.2 billion in retail sales. So we're looking at a massive golf show. This should be one of the biggest ones coming up in years where we will, we're going to have a lot of fun there. Bob, what are you going to do there?
Well, I'm not going to be at the expanded racket sports element of it, but I would love to be there. That's
That's
a new portion of the
a show within a show, and
yes.
it's been there for about 4 or 5 years now, but it
Yep.
was very small. It did have a pickleball court or a small tennis court built out, and they were out there playing and hitting and showcasing a few of the booths and the vendors. But I guess it's going to be the biggest racket sport show within a show ever this year. Go ahead, Bob.
They got more room now to do that with since they're not going to be hitting practice shots as much. But back to what I was trying to do is I'm going to be working with Jim Beattie, who started the African American Golf Expo 4 years ago, and I'm going to be using working with him for the inaugural History Challenge. And we're inviting contestants to come in and be a part of it. We'll have judges there, including award-winning author Pete McDaniel, and he will be among our panelists who will be giving questions out to the designated contestants up on a stage. And I'm not going to be Alex Trebek, but I'm going to be a guy that's just sort of managing and rotating the questions among them. As we're trying to establish a lot of different subject matter, culture, historical look at the game itself and famous personalities. And then that includes the person that even invented and really the father of PGA merchandising, Ernie Sabarak. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I think it's great to have this support that people will find that history is not just ancient history, but it is actually that what you're doing today is history is today, and it's not just 5 minutes ago. It's valuable, and this show brings together a lot of the best of our friends from around the country.
Yeah. There's so much more going on in the world of golf, and we're going to have the three of us will have follow-up shows after the PGA Merchandise Show coming up in a couple weeks. And when we come back, we will have a couple of shows where we review products, new inventions. We'll spotlight several things there. And some of my favorite products of the year from the PGA show, which I do every single year. Now, I don't want anybody to forget my word of the year that I announced on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, the first show of 2026. So my word of the year, and I don't know, Bob, if you remember it or not,
I do.
Craig was busy and working. But my word of the year is acceptance, acceptance. And I could go into the background and the details and all of that about that word, the history of the word, the usage of the word. You know, words don't have meanings, they have usages. Because over time, the usage of a word changes. We use words differently today than we did the same word decades ago or hundreds of years ago. But the word acceptance is an important word. It's a powerful word. I have it all over. It's in my car. It's right here on my desk in a permanent place as I put my word of the year every year. My new word goes everywhere. It's even in a little sticky on my bathroom mirror down in the lower left-hand corner. It's very small, about an inch by an inch, but it's there and it stays there all year. And it's other places. So the word acceptance is a word that I hope you and I, you listeners and I, all of us will be able to, well, come to agreement about. No matter where you are on the any spectrum or any topic, wherever you are, it doesn't matter who you agree with, who you like, who you don't like, where you are on any political, religious, or any other level, we can certainly all agree, I know, on the word acceptance. Let's be more acceptable to others and let's accept others more readily.
And right.
15 seconds, Bob, on acceptance.
Have you sent your word over to the PGA Tour and have them review it as they talk to Liv?
And Brooks Koepka, and we'll talk about Pat Perez and what John Rahm had to say that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And Craig, what about acceptance? Can we all be a little bit more inclined to accept others? Can we do it? Is it within us?
Well, I don't know if it's within us, but it's something I know I need more. It's a good word, whether you're playing golf or just in general. That's a great word. I think that is something that more of us could be acceptance or tolerant. I think that's a great word that we could all take to heart.
Well, we'll bring it up now and then throughout the year, like we do every year. But acceptance is our word of the year, and I think it's a great word, like you, Craig. And I'm so glad that it came to me, and I was reviewing a few words, and I chose acceptance. And I think I was led to do that, because we all need more of that. We want to be accepted, and we want to accept others. All right, let's move on. Speaking about acceptance. Let's talk about Liv and what's going on with Liv. They've got a new broadcast deal going on, but the big news is, and Rory has a quote here that I'll read, but the big news is Koepka is wanting out of Liv and back onto the PGA Tour, and will they accept him? Here's what Rory says about what's going on. He thinks that the greatest players in the world need to play together more regularly. Here's his statement. They've made the money, but they paid their consequences in terms of their reputation and some of the things they've lost by going over there, meaning tour players that left the PGA Tour to go over to Liv. If it made the overall tour stronger to have Bryson back and whoever else, I would be okay with it. But I recognize not everyone is in my position. It would be up to the collective group of PGA Tour members to make that decision. The thing that LIV has done is elevated the majors and the Ryder Cup, because only 4 or 5 times a year will you see all the best players playing together. For golf to be relevant, and this is the main statement, for golf to be relevant, I think we need the best players together more often than that. Bob?
Well, I think that's great to see the softened stance by Rory. That it only helps golf when you have the best players together, and that's what viewerships is in what drives sponsorships. That's what drives any sport that we watch and enjoy, and certainly with golf. But it was grown into in its own in way back in the '60s with Arnie, Jack, and Gary, and it's. To a point now where you, if you lose the star power, you lose viewership. As simple as that, because it's a game that demands a commitment of the viewer.
Greg? Rory
Well,
says they need to be together more often for golf
what
to
an
be
original
relevant.
idea from Rory. I mean, I think Greg came up with that in 1990. Where did Rory come up with such an original idea like that? Gee, Rory, thanks for coming up with that original idea.
Well, and especially since he hated LIV and he was so opposed to it and thought that it needed to go away, and he was the poster person for the PGA Tour, and I think it cost him some of his excellent play for a year or so on the tour. He
I
finally
don't.
shed all that, got back to business, and won the Masters. Go ahead.
I don't know that. I mean, I think we can strive to have the best play against each other more, and that's a fine goal to have. But I don't know that it necessarily is true. I mean, we bring, and I'm not living there anymore, but we bring, close to 750,000 people every year to Phoenix, and that field isn't exactly real strong. So I don't think it that we need to have them together all that much more.
Do you think 5 times a year is good enough?
Well, I didn't say it was good enough, but I don't think we need. I mean, we had the World Golf Championships, and we would get a lot of the great fields there. We've had these ideas where we get them. It doesn't mean how many times did we have these World Golf Championships? We had them. We had one down in Tucson, and we'd have the top 65 players playing at match play. Did they have great
Accenture, yeah.
ratings? Did they have tremendous? Did viewership just go up like crazy?
No.
No. So why? Where? How many times are we going to try this to sit there and say that this is the only way we can do this? I think that's wrong. You need people watch the Phoenix Open, as I said, because of the crowd and what they've done and how they've developed that tournament. I think there are ways of doing it. Would I like to see them playing together more often? Sure. But it does not guarantee that you're going to have a great golf tournament and people are going to watch it.
Here's what Brandel said, and then you can both comment on it. If one wanted to guarantee less competitive fields, or in today's parlance, a less meritocratic PGA Tour, all they have to do is have smaller fields and or no-cut events, which would guarantee an apathetic audience because intuitively they will know they're watching an anemic product. All one needs to do is look at Tiger's win percentage in regular tour events, which was 22%, or majors, 15.7%, versus his win percentage in WGC events, 39%. So Brandel is saying to limit these fields and to have no cuts is making the PGA Tour anemic. Bob?
I always believe that cuts are a part of the golf dynamic,
Course
and
they are.
I always felt that they were necessary. And I'd have to agree with a portion of what you just said. And it's nice that you can throw those stats out at you and stuff like that.
Well,
Jack Nicklaus only worked on his career around the majors, and that was a different animal back then. Totally different animal. Different dynamic economics, the whole works. But I go back to my original platform and soapbox on this program when I talked about local sponsors, how they survive, the people who are the volunteers that make up a sporting event, and they're the lifeblood, the DNA of golf. And so I've always supported them. I always think, and it's great that you can get these stars out and so forth, but it's the people behind it. They're really the ones that keep it going, rather not even if you don't have a Rory McIlroy or somebody in the field.
Look, I think the more of the world's top golfers that are together, and maybe not week in and week out, and they won't be together week in and week out because they build their own schedules, and some of them are in events and some of them are not together. Back long before LIV ever was, we had an array of different week in and week out tournaments and participating players. But once LIV came along, they created the need for elevated events. They created the need for the PGA Tour to make a big overhaul. And the PGA Tour has made a big overhaul, but I will tell you that it's something else when you look at it. For the greatest players in the game globally to not be able to be together.
That's the key, Ray.
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
The
is.
PGA Tour has decided that they're going to ban those people. The
Yes.
PGA Tour decided to do that.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. They have the opportunity. They had the opportunity 20 years ago to get people together because they would say, oh, we'll get some of the DP Tour. We'll get some of the nation. We'll do that. The PGA Tour decided, nope, you've left us. You're as good as dead. Okay, that's what the tour decided.
As far as LIV goes, Sky Sports has an extensive live broadcast rights now to LIV Golf and the Asian Tour. It's just amazing. Sky Sports, when you look at them, how expansive their coverage is, Bob, on a global basis. Comment on that, if you will. What about Sky Sports?
Well, Sky has been probably one of the most progressive of all the media properties I've seen in golf, and I say that because they were coming up with new and ways of projecting the Ryder Cup, new and ways of projecting their own tours on television in different ways long before America media staff decided to do the walk and talks and all those different type of things, the interaction. What I also note is, the LE2, the ladies at European Tour, just hired a CEO of their own this past week, Tom Phillips. His background is director of Middle East golf on the DP World Tour, and they brought him over because they knew how his ability to bring in new business, and that's what's incorporated. How are they bringing in new business and new audiences? And that makes it interesting to me. And that, going back to your original point about Sky has been, like I said, very, they can be rogue or they can be very unique. And sometimes I find some of the best commentaries coming from.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about John Rahm and what he has to say about Pat Perez and some of the punishment going on there. We'll continue this line of discussion, and we have more to come too. I want you to listen to some great sponsors right now. Please stay with me during this commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there with us. We'll be back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, Greg, so welcome back, everybody. This is Great American Golf. I'm Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. He's Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian emeritus. He's Craig Renshaw, our PGA of America lifelong member. He's a lifer, instructor, commentator, analyst. It's Craig Renshaw. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for continuing on with me here today. When we left off, I mentioned we're going to talk about John Rahm and some of his comments. We'll do that. He calls it absolutely ridiculous what happened to a certain player, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to thank Matazal Hotel and Casino, the friendliest casino in Arizona. They're in Payson, Arizona, and we love Matazal Hotel and Casino. It's a lot of fun. Nicest place to stay in Payson. Payson is the gateway to the Rim Country, and I love going there. I love staying there, and of course, you will too. I also want to thank Ashworth Golf Apparel. Folks, when you wear Ashworth Golf Apparel, you're wearing a part of golf history, and I'm proud to be an ambassador for Ashworth Golf. You go to ashworth-golf.com, and you're going to find out all about Ashworth Golf Apparel. I think you can go to ashworthgolf.com as well. I'll be interviewing John Ashworth and Andy Bell and others wearing my Ashworth Golf Apparel, as I do everywhere when I'm out and about around the game. Whatever I'm doing, from filming to speaking, or maybe just wearing some great Ashworth Golf Apparel to the course, to play, to practice, or if I'm out with my wonderful wife and heading to a movie, and it's been a little chilly here, I wear my Ashworth Golf Apparel outerwear. Keeps you warm and snug, and it's made for golf and made for after golf. So ashworthgolf.com. You want to go there. Ashworth Golf Apparel. You know, one of my favorite places to eat in Anthem, part of my Anthem only segment, is pho noodle soup. I love Vietnamese pho noodle, and I've loved it for years, but I have found a place here, and they have come on board as part of my Anthem only segment, where I encourage you, no matter what city you live in, keep your dollars local. It helps on so many different levels of the economy, nonprofits, churches, schools, and the local businesses. In my case, I'm based in Anthem, Arizona, a community in the northern foothills of Phoenix. And a wonderful, wonderful Vietnamese lady from Vietnam is the owner with her husband, Jeff, Maya. And she owns Pho Legend. They own Pho Legend right here in Anthem, Arizona. It's some of the best Vietnamese pho soup I've ever had. And they have a variety of items on their menu. They're fabulous. They're in the Fry's parking lot shopping center. And that's Jeff and Maya from Pho Legend. Wonderful food if you're inclined for the pho noodles. All right, guys, we're back. John Rahm, he said, huh? What? And he called what they did to Pat Perez absolutely ridiculous. What did they do to Pat? Did you read this, Bob?
Yes, Pat Perez wanted to get make a bid to get on the PGA Champions Tour. He's left LIV Golf as a player, but he's been a LIV Golf broadcaster. So the PGA Tour policy for treating media roles the same as competition in their ban, meaning he would not be eligible until the summer of 2026.
So he's got to wait 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that's going to hurt him, especially with all the money he made at LIV. The dollars that he made, I believe, are legacy money. And I remember when he went over, it was a good decision for him, I believe. Craig, what do you make of it?
Yeah, that's the rule. As I've said many times, I don't think anybody besides the Perez family cares what Pat's doing. He's not bringing in viewers. So, you know, I don't think it matters a whole heck of a lot to any of us, truthfully, what Pat Perez does for golf.
No, I don't really think it makes a big deal. It doesn't really move the needle, but it's just one more little cut, one more little nick and cut.
Not a lot of acceptance going on there, Ray.
There's no acceptance. You're right, Bob. Another little nick and cut among many. Mm-hmm. And after a while, there's blood.
I wonder if any of you guys remember what Pat Perez did as a junior in the Junior PGA Championship, 1990, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Well, you were right there.
I wasn't here at the time in 1990. Okay. 2 years before I arrived, he won the championship with a 63 final round to beat Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods later told me in life when I met him, he says, I got whooped by that guy.
Tiger got whooped a few times, but, you know, I mean, whatever. There's an article out there, and I read through it, and I was going to send it to you guys, and I didn't do it. We'll talk about it maybe on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, which is day after tomorrow, Monday Golf Lifestyle Show right here, podcasting on Golf News Net, and then out on all the big audio platforms after a day or so on golfnewsnet.com. But there's an article out there, and you might want to look at it, find it. We'll discuss it on Monday during the show, and that is the earnings compared for the players that went to LIV. There's a whole laundry list of those players, all the different names, many of them, not all, but many of them that went to LIV, and the earnings they had total, plus they broke it down into per event compared to the years that they were all on the PGA Tour, their total earnings, and then their per event earnings because of so fewer live events they played in and so many, many more PGA Tour events. That's an article that both of you should look at. I'll try to find it and send it to you, but I read through it and it is astounding. It is shocking. The amount of money that the players made on LIV per event, and then their gross amount of money for 30 and 40 and maybe 50 events on LIV compared to hundreds of events on the PGA Tour, and that per event number, it's just so much more. We'll talk about that, and no wonder so many went over. Right, wrong, or indifferent, Pat Perez was one of them. It paid for his retirement and future retirements. It's legacy money when you talk about going over to LIV. But now Brooks Koepka wants back on the PGA Tour. How do you think that's going to go down, Bob?
Oh, I think it's going to happen. It's just, you know, he's too big a draw for them. And obviously, is he a five-time major winner, I think? But that his he's trying to get back to where he can be contending again, like he has, and like him or hate him, whatever your view is of him, he's still a player that's interesting to watch, and especially when it's time for crunch time, he's always proven that.
Should Koepka come back, pay us fine, and get right back on the PGA Tour, which is what he wants to do, Craig? Should this be easy? Should this just be something, okay, give him a couple million dollars and move right back into the schedule?
I don't know that the bylaws of the PGA Tour and everything, they ever really thought of that to put that in there. But, I mean, look at it as myself. Can I move back to Phoenix if I wanted to and possibly get my old job back at Springfield or something like that if they're willing to take me back? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, can you get a job working at McDonald's, quit to go work somewhere else and then go back to McDonald's? Sure. Why not? If they'll take you back.
Right.
I mean, did you burn bridges? I don't know. I don't think Brooks was really rude to any of those guys or anything like that. I don't know why the PGA Tour has this just view that, you know, the PGA Tour has just bungled this from the beginning. We've said this for years. And their idea of what they offer and what they bring, I think, is a lot higher than what reality is.
For example, Joaquin Neiman earned $1.49 million per event at LIV. On the PGA Tour, he earned $123,000 per event. I mean, you can go on and on and on down the line. We'll try to pick a few players to show the massive, massive difference in their earnings from LIV to where they were when they were on the PGA Tour. We'll do that. Okay, we'll see what happens with Koepka. I hope he's able to come back and play. We know we'll see him in the majors. We'll see them all in the majors, and we'll go from there. All right, let's have a quick look at the schedules. We have a PGA Tour schedule. Bob, they're asking me for a nugget. You might want to get ready for one or two.
I'm ready.
Let's hit the PGA. You're ready for a nugget now? Okay, mm-hmm. Bob, take mm-hmm. off.
This event happened in the winter in Palm Beach and the island of Palm Beach. Sam Snead became the only man in history to win an LPGA-sanctioned event. He won the Royal Poinciana Plaza Invitational on the town of Palm Beach Par 3, and he in that two-day tournament, he beat Mickey Wright by 5 strokes.
Huh.
14 oh. women and one man in the field.
Wow. Super. Great nugget. We're going to look at the tour schedules in a minute, but there was one other topic that I wanted to cover, and I don't know whether you
hey, Ray,
saw this. Yep, Craig.
I want to go back to Brooks real fast.
Go ahead.
What is the PGA Tour's motive to take Brooks Koepka back?
He brings eyeballs to the TV. He brings a great competitive.
How many more viewers will they get? Can they quantify that? Or do you think it's sponsor related?
Oh, I think it's sponsors too. Absolutely. Look, it's not all about the money. It's only about money. Everything pretty much
is. I mean, do you think they're going to be able to quantify that if Brooks comes back, they accept Brooks back tomorrow, they're going to be able to quantify that, oh my God, look, this is how many more people watch because of Brooks Koepka? I mean,
I think that when you get
10 years ago, 5 years ago, were you watching events for Brooks Koepka?
Uh-huh. I sure
you were?
Was. Oh, yes, I was.
How many people you think were doing that?
I think there were many people that were watching because Brooks Koepka was, first of all, a unicorn, a phenomena. The way that he put on the suit of armor to focus only on that week. And listen, I've talked to Brooks. I've interviewed Brooks. I've spent a few minutes with Brooks, several minutes. He's different than what he comes off as, what he gives you at big events. He's not that tough, not arrogant, but very, very focused, intimidating person at the majors that he puts out to the media.
His talent is undeniable.
Undeniable.
But to me, it's appreciative there at the event versus on TV. But you believe that events, they have seen significant drops in TV coverage because Brooks Koepka left.
Not just Brooks. I think viewership dropped 3 years ago and continued to drop. Over time, because the product was changing, they had to change it. There's unknown. They're still unknown today. They never really have made any sort of peace with LIV. Rory says, hey, I think it'll be more relevant golf if the greatest players play more often together. And on it goes. No, I do think that viewership dropped off significantly, and sponsors probably weren't happy. I don't know that the networks were happy when the PGA Tour responded and reacted to LIV the way that they did and banned all the great players that went over. It wasn't just Koepka, Craig. I think it was Koepka and Rahm and DeChambeau. And when you put it, and DJ, when you put it all together, yes, those players not in PGA Tour events week in and week out. Yeah, Scottie Scheffler took over, but he is a reluctant poster person for the PGA Tour. isn't he, Bob? Craig, I want you to respond to me now. I don't think it was Brooks alone. I think it was all of them that brought it to a low.
Well, I think he's a better interview than Bill Belichick. I'll give him that. But I just don't think it's I don't think he even worries about it. That's the thing. Brooks, he doesn't worry. He couldn't care a bit.
I don't think any of them really worry about it, and they've got legacy money for generations to come. Craig, I want to go back to you real quick, and then Bob. I said that it was the group of great players that went over that caused viewership and networks and all that. Do you agree with that? It wasn't just one guy.
Well, I agree, but that's my point.
It wasn't Phil. We know that.
Well, but my point is that then this is a solution of one player one way or the other. It doesn't make a hill of beans a difference right there. I mean, so if Brooks comes over, Brooks, to me, while I think he's not as good a golfer as Scotty is, both of them are the same as being number one. I don't think you get a ton of eyes because you get this great bit of those guys golfing. No, none of them have the pizzazz of Tiger. I don't know why, but they don't. So you're not going to get a ton of eyes to watch whether Scotty goes on a run forever. Maybe we will if Scotty would try to win a 10 in a row or something. But I don't think people would be watching like they were when Tiger went on his 7 or 8 in a row.
Well, Woods Brooks, won Brooks everything he looked way. At.
Brooks only did it in majors. Brooks has won, what, 7 Correct. Times in his whole career, but 5 of them are majors?
Correct.
So he's not doing it anywhere else.
Correct. But I think when he plays, he does draw eyeballs. We know Bryson does, the most interesting man in golf. We know that DJ used to move the needle. I don't know about it now. But look, I have long thought that these players are supposed to be independent contractors. I have long thought the PGA Tour and LIV Golf should have made a relationship together that said, let them eat cake. Let them play golf. Let them go play from week in and week out here, there, or everywhere. Let them go play golf because that is what the product is. Great players playing great golf on TV and in person at events so that the fans can enjoy and be entertained. Because that is all that professional golf is. It's entertainment. That's what NFL football is. It's entertainment. That's what baseball is. All of sports, entertainment. Bob, where am I going wrong?
You're not going wrong. It's entertainment. I do want to just sort of a supplement in there that when you talk about the best players on TV and drawing attention, it's usually the event that's drawing the attention too. And that's the moment. They have their traditions. We have our moments of on our calendar, which draw those people regardless of who's in the field. I got as much out of a Rory and JJ Spahn playoff at the Players than I would out of Rory and some other star out there.
Well, because
it was good. It was good golf. It was good golf.
Who could absolutely deny that last year, that playoff with JJ Spahn and Rory, and then with JJ Spahn coming back after a year earlier, Craig and Bob and listeners, almost walking away from the game, winning and in dramatic fashion this U.S. Open that will go down in history as one of the greatest of all times. Let me finish Brandel Chamblee's comments. He talked about Tiger's win percentages and in the WGC. So he said golf will be anemic if they have these smaller fields and no-cut events. He goes on to say the WGC events didn't resonate and why smaller so-called elite fields won't resonate with today's fans. Nobody wants to watch the same players beating the same players every week. Professional golf has almost nothing in common with professional football. How about that little dig, Bob? I think that was a direct shot at Rolap. Well, yeah, he came from the NFL.
It was a shot. And, I think a lot of the problems is it looks like the behind the closed doors are trying to push to the PGA Tour season in 2027 to begin after the Super Bowl. Yeah. I think that's the biggest sticking point right now.
So what? Let them do that. All right. It begins after the Super Bowl, although I don't know, you're going to have to beat everybody up over at the Phoenix Open somewhere, or somehow or other persuade them to give up their spot on the calendar, because they have traditionally and historically finished the final round on Super Bowl Sunday. Right, Craig?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out what they do, but there's some comments. Okay. All right, we're going to look at schedules here. We have about 7 minutes left in the show, but I want to spend a couple minutes because I ran across six PGA Tour rule changes that are going to happen in 2026. Did you see this, Craig?
I saw part of it. I didn't really get a chance to see. I didn't get to read all of them, but yes, I did see that they had announced a couple.
Well, these rule changes are designed to reward skill and not technicalities, and they've probably been a long time coming. For years and years on these shows of mine, we have talked about rules that are just stupid and they need to go away. Here's a rule that they're going to change. Ball movement. One stroke, not two stroke penalty for unknowingly moving a ball. Unknowingly moving a ball. Then there's the embedded ball. You get free relief from any pitch mark. Free relief from any pitch mark. The internal out of bounds. Out of bounds is only for tee shots. No unfair limits on recovery shots. Now, I don't know about that one. Craig, what do you make of that one? If you don't hit a good tee shot and you're in the fairway and then, or you're out of the fairway out of bounds, but then your recovery shot, your second shot, which might be a hybrid or a very long iron, it could also go OB. And you're telling me that there's no more OB for recovery shots?
Okay. I don't see this change. Will it take the sportscast from being a 20-minute dissertation of this that we see when we have these discuss? I just don't see as any of this changing golf at all. At all.
Well, I mean, there's one coming up that's an interesting one. Okay, obstructions near greens. You get relief beyond sprinkler heads. It includes microphone holes, course damage, and other things like that, Bob. I think that's fair.
Very fair. I have no problem with that.
Broken clubs. Repaired with parts from your bag. Faster, practical, mid-round fixes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when they had to do it, but I'm sure they did, or they wouldn't change the rule, Craig.
Well, yeah, I guess now in case somebody breaks a head in their, they're going to carry an extra driver head in their bag now. Okay. Yeah.
And they're going to have the glue to put it on, or maybe it screws on like a lot of the new technology.
Okay.
Yeah. But they can't change it as a result of abuse of a club.
No beating it on a tree and then changing it. Okay, I got it. All right, here's number six, the final one that I found, and it's called Preferred Lies. And this one, I think, does move the needle somewhat. Here it is. Relief is reduced to a scorecard length. The length of the scorecard is your relief, and it calls for fairer placements and less manipulation. What about that, Bob?
I think that speeds up play, be honest with you.
It speeds up play. Your ball is going to be nearer to where
about the 11 inches. 11 inches is what they estimate, as opposed to the club length, with is 46 inches.
Craig? Well, because that can completely change the angle and trajectory of your ball. I mean, you can get out of a lot of trouble with 46 inches, Craig.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference, just because you're still going to have to take complete relief and then you get it within a scorecard. Okay, well, you're still going to take, I mean, you're going to have to take complete relief of a water, of if you get casual water. Okay, and then you only get to drop it within a scorecard. Okay, well, it used to be in within a club. I don't see how that makes the time go any faster. You're still going to go through the same rules. You're just using a smaller golf club. You could have said we could have done it within a putter grip. Okay, that doesn't change anything.
Okay. All right, we've got a few minutes left only, and we'll have you guys have the final word. But before we do, let's rip through the schedules. 2026 PGA Tour schedule. They canceled the Century. Bad course conditions, water issues, la la la. Didn't really have time to get it in shape. Craig, I mean, listen, what? I'm a major fan of golf superintendents, big time. Was it them or the powers that be that caused the Century to be off the calendar this year?
I think it was a little bit of both. Once again, I think the PGA Tour, I mean, there was an article I read this morning about Mark Rolfing telling the PGA Tour 3 or 4 years ago that they were having water problems out there and this was coming down.
Yeah.
And they just ignored it. I think with them trying to limit the schedule and this water problem coming up and making an issue, that they just went, okay, we'll cancel it. I mean, they still had 3 months to get the golf course in shape. They got people on it right now. So, I mean, you're cutting fairways to, they're still cutting the fairways the same way. I can't believe that when they got the water going, that this golf course would have been in, we would have been, what's the word? Just so disappointed in the condition of the golf course that it would have been so, we could have seen that difference in the way these players play. I just don't believe that.
Okay, the first PGA Tour event, Bob, is where?
January 15 at the Sony Open in Hawaii.
All right, so next week, the Sony Open in Hawaii at Wailea Country Club. You get 500 FedEx Cup points. And, Craig, you've played that course, haven't you?
I have. And Windy. I would tell everybody to mark this down because if I'm a betting man, it's the last year we go there.
You don't think we're going to have the Sony Open anymore?
We may have the Sony Open, but I don't think it's going to be in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wow. Big prediction there from Bob and Craig. We'll see what happens. Then they go to the American Express out at PGA West. That is the old Bob Hope, right, Craig?
Yep.
And love that event. They then go to the Farmers in San Diego at Torrey Pines. We love that event. And then they come to Phoenix for the Phoenix Open. And that will be February 2 through 8, the 8th being Super Bowl Sunday. So that's some events coming up on the PGA Tour. Bob, what's happening on, or Craig, you have a look at the Champions Tour, if you will. Bob, what's happening with the ladies?
The LPGA first event of the year is a Tournament of Champions. They do have theirs without any water problems in Orlando. With the Hilton is a sponsor. And it's after that, January 29th.
And it's at Lake Nona. I wanted to wedge that in. Lake Nona. I love that golf club.
Okay. And after that, 3 weeks in a row, the LPGA is on the road to Asia. They will not return to the United States until March 19 for the Founders Cup.
And, of course, we love the Founders Cup. And then we're going to have the Ford Championship at Wild Horse Pass again down in the Chandler area at Whirlwind Golf Club. And that's March the 26th through the 29th. Of course, I'll be there covering it, interviewing the ladies as I did last year. There'll be some great videos go up. So that's our LPGA Tour schedule. We'll week by week by week go over those leaderboards. Craig, what's happening with the gentlemen of the game, the legends of the game?
We're going to have a couple weeks off, and then they're going to be in Hawaii also.
Yeah.
On Kona. The Mitsubishi Electric Championship is going to be there, and then they're going to wait a few more weeks, and then they'll move to Florida, and they'll have the Chubb Classic in Naples.
Yeah, we've got the Chubb down in Naples, and then they're going to go to Boca. They'll have the Coligard right here in Arizona at La Paloma Country Club in Tucson. That's the Coligard Classic, March the 20th through the 22nd, and I'm planning on being down there and covering that. It's fun. By the way, Miguel Angel Jimenez and I, along with numerous other tour players from various tours and especially Champions Tour players, have texted back and forth during the holidays, wishing each other, happy holidays and a happy New Year's and all that. And Miguel Angel Jimenez wrote to me and said, very happy New Year, Ray, and to you and all of your listeners. So Miguel Angel Jimenez speaking to you and hoping you're going to have a great, happy new year. And we know that we will. All right. Those are the three main tours. And there's another main tour in the world, isn't there? And that would be the DP World Tour. And the DP World Tour is going to get started here January the 15th through the 18th with the Dubai Invitational. They then go to the Hero Dubai Desert Classic. They then go to the Bahrain Championship. I've been to Bahrain before. And then they go to the Middle East event. And I'm seeing on my schedule, that's a TBA. They're not sure where they're going to have that. Bob, do you know anything more?
No, nothing that I've seen announced at this point.
They then go on to the Kenya Open. They go to the South African Open Championship. They go to the Johannesburg Open down in South Africa, of course. And then to take us to mid-March, the Hainan Classic in China, and then the Hero Indian Open. That's a TBA also. And, of course, right after that, April the 9th through the 12th, we have a Masters golf tournament that we will all be very excited to cover. So lots of great golf, all back with us again every minute, every week, every show. We're going to be talking golf. All the schedules are here in my hands. I printed them all out, so they're right at the fingertips. And we will keep you informed about leaderboards and what's happening, backstories, side stories, front stories, controversies, fun things, funny things, and the great wins, the great moments in 2026. Craig, final word for you.
I really like the word acceptance. I like that.
Thank you. And I know that we all want more accepted. We want to be accepted. Let's all work on accepting more people, more thoughts, more ideas. Doesn't mean we have to change or anything like that, but it might mean that we have to be willing to change our acceptance model. Bob, final word.
I'd like to see that golf is now accepting the TGL season, which resumes with his third match, Jupiter versus New York on January 13. And then a day after the NCAA football championship, the January 20th, Jupiter again plays against another match against LA. So it's two in a row. And they've already announced a week ago that the women will be having a TGL, Women TGA League, TGL League in the winter of 2026.
All right. Sounds great. Well, I want to thank Tour Edge Golf and, of course, the new ball. They've got the Tour Edge Golf Ball. The hot launch ball is out. I mean, they've been promoting it and talking about it. John Claffey will be coming on this show very soon, and he's going to talk all about, well, just everything for 2026 going on with Tour Edge. They continue with me for yet another year as a continuing sponsor. I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes at squares.com. They have all new things for 2026 happening, new models, new shoes. They've got the spikeless golf shoe. Don't forget, they've got baseball shoes, pickleball shoes, and then all of the golf shoes for all the reasons why you want to wear your next piece of equipment. Is your golf shoe. It is Squares at squairz.com. Bob Winskowitz has outdone himself with his team again for 2026, and lots more about Squares to come. And I'm going to be putting out a big pre-PGA merchandise show email to all of my big email list. And it's only going to have four or five companies in there to look at. And then after the PGA merchandise show, as I mentioned on top of the hour today, I'm going to put out another big email to the big list. And if you want to be on my list for all of those and all the gift guides throughout the years in special sends to the list, you've got to write to me to get your email address on there at golfadams@msn.com. After the PGA show, around the first week of February, maybe early second week of February, I'll be putting out Ray's favorite PGA products of the year from the merchandise show. And those are going to be some great innovation because I'm going in with an attitude of acceptance of these great products. Bob, thank you so much for joining. And we will be back with Dr. Bob Denny on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show day after tomorrow and Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional. We're going to have a lot of fun on that show. And, well, just a lot more golf to talk about. We'll continue on. If you have a topic or an individual or a guest you want us, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. I know that Bob is working on, I think, a special guest or two. There is one or two that I think will be a surprise to you that I'm working on also. So lots of great things happening. Gentlemen, enjoy your weekends. Everybody get out and practice. If it's too cold, like it's cold and nippy and windy and rainy in Phoenix and in the 40s and 50s here, well, put on your carpet or have your indoor putting and make sure you have a lot of fun with that. We'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Enjoy your weekend, folks.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.